Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Be in the building, and I want to see what the tailgate experience is like. I want to see what SoFi is like, and I want to document the entire thing on 95.7 The Game's huge platform. We got so many. We got hundreds of thousands of followers on Insta, hundreds of thousands on Twitter, and I'm going to put the whole thing out there, and we're looking for somebody that can help get us in the building. That's all we're doing, and we'll be able to support back by getting your name out there to the masses. So hopefully somebody can chat in, and if you are interested, text us your contact information, 888-957-9570. Now, it is 7 o'clock, so you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM in HD1, San Francisco, and Odyssey Station, brought to you by DuckDuckGo, privacy simplified. Now, again, get in on the Comcast business text line or call us, 888-957-9570. I think that Sean McVay is this era's Tommy Lasorda. I think that's what he is. He's the face that represents the enemy down south. He's Pete Carroll on steroids. He's younger. He's vibrant. The gel in the hair. I mean, he's trying to basically take what the 49ers want, which is another trip to the Super Bowl. There is so much to hate about this guy. And if he wasn't good at what he does, we wouldn't hate him. He'd be just irrelevant. He'd be a dude that we don't care about. So am I alone here? Am I the only person that thinks that Sean McVay is somebody that I absolutely can't stand looking at? Seeing him celebrate with Tyler Higbee in the end zone? Are you kidding me? All right, so people are already starting to come in now, and I want to know where everybody's at, Roasters. 888-957-9570. Who's going to SoFi? Who's ready to boo that man McVay and make it a sea of red? Let's go to AJ in Fremont. AJ, are you going to the Rams 49er epic clash in this NFC Championship game?
Absolutely, yes, we are going. Me and my son, we got the tickets last night, and we had plans to watch the game home, but this is a game we got to go, and we got to support the team. I'm a season ticket holder, and I talk to you guys all the time over the phone, and this is a game we got to go, and
yes.
Spent like almost $1,600 for two tickets. We are in section 514, row 11, and I believe the seats number are I think 8 or 9. So, and we didn't get the parking passes because the parking passes were hell expensive. I don't know why they've done this thing, but we booked a hotel. I mean, it's all set through my credit card. I mean, we had free nights and I took advantage of that. But man, going back to this guy, Sean McVay, this guy is one of my old managers. He was not a bad guy, but I couldn't stand him. You know,
I'm with you.
His
I'm
face.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's like one of those things. I can't like this guy. He's done nothing wrong to me.
Yes.
I just hate him.
Yeah.
So hate is a very powerful word, but I don't like him.
That's sports hate, AJ. It's sports hate. You know, you see somebody and you sports hate him. You don't really truly hate the person. He's probably a great guy. You know what, though? I can't stand looking at his face. And when he chest bumped Higbee, I said, all right, this guy instantly catapulted above Pete Carroll on my list of guys I can't stand right now in the NFL. And he's great at what he does. That's the thing that makes it so annoying. He's done so much in such a small amount of time. He's had a winning season every single year he's gotten there. He made Jared Goff a tremendous amount of money, made him a competent quarterback. He's pivoted off of Todd Gurley when he was the MVP of the league and shredded his knee, and he wasn't but a shell of himself. He brings in Sonny Michel this year and churns out 800 yards from Sonny Michel, gets Cam Akers back, throws him into the lineup, loses Robert Woods, makes Van Jefferson, you know, a viable option. Turned Cooper Kupp into one of the best receivers the game has ever seen. Like, there's a lot that this guy does great, and I can't stand looking at him on the sidelines. I can't stand looking at him. Am I just being a hater, Steven?
I wonder how people view Kyle Shanahan, because I just asked Curly, does the NFC West, from an outside fan base perspective, yes, not talking within the fan bases, but does the NFC West have like the most sports hateable coaches there? Because Cliff Kingsbury,
that's a good point,
not a very likable dude. Sean McVay, as you've mentioned all those reasons, you got Shanahan and then you got Pete Carroll too. I have a feeling like the NFC West could contend, because at least with the other divisions, you know, in the AFC West, you got Andy Reid. No one really dislikes Andy Reid at this point. The AFC South, people like Mike Vrabel, I guess. The AFC,
that's a good point.
The AFC North, people like Zach Taylor, Mike Tomlin, all those guys. The East, you got Brian Flores. Then when you go to the NFC, I mean, it's hard to think. There's always that one coach in each division,
absolutely,
that's very likable. But within the NFC West, I feel like everybody has at least some sort of problem with every one of them.
There's no doubt about it. And I just look at like his evolution, Sean McVay. They started off power run team, right? That's what Todd Gurley was, power run. And they're going to, you know, throw the ball off that play action. They've kind of evolved. They're a throw team. Now, will they run it? Of course they will. But they aren't the same type of a power run team like they were when Todd Gurley was running things. So he's evolved as a head coach, and he's done a great job bringing in the veterans. I mean, they've got a Laker-esque feel to them where they're ring chasing. You know, like a Miami Heat kind of a ring chaser, the way the Warriors were. Hey, who wants to win a ring? Come here. Take a little less. Odell Beckham, you got, you know, kicked out of Cleveland. Come here. Be our third receiver. Oh, Robert Woods goes down. Be our number two. And now he's flourishing. There's something to be said. Where's Bonte? People want to know. His line's a little choppy. And so he's probably smashing in right now on 280 doing, I don't know, 120, 130 in the Batmobile. Let's go out to Larry in San Francisco. Larry, Saturday night, Green Bay Packers, snow falling. Jordan Willis with the block of all blocks. Your thoughts.
You know, Joe, I got to tell you something, buddy. Man, I have an Ubered the whole weekend, dude. It was just, the football was just too exciting. You know, it comes out to me like this. I look at it like this, man. You know, the GOAT, the MVP, the most electrifying player, Kyler Murray, all these guys who you included and said you'd rather have over Jimmy G are all going to have the same thing. They're going to be watching Jimmy G play next week. You know, I don't know. I see the Niners smashing the Rams, dude. I just see a smash job. There's no snow falling in L.A.
Yeah.
It's not a night game. You know, I'm looking at it like this. Jimmy G is going to have a game this week. You know, we had special teams show up. We've had defense show up. And, you know, a lot of people were clowning Jimmy G. You know, Jimmy G was out of rhythm. But not when he was playing, man. He was hitting people with dimes in that snow. I mean, in that cold. Then all of a sudden, they're just people who never drop balls were just dropping duck. I mean, dropping dimes. You know, I came to this, Joe. I can't hate McVay. He's not Pete Carroll. You know, there's something about Pete Carroll that just supersedes anything, any good coaching that he does. I can't stand that cat. Every time I watch him, I just want to slap that gum out of his mouth, you know?
Yeah, well, Larry, let me jump in here. And good call, and I appreciate it. Jimmy Garoppolo continuing to win. I mean, look, it is what it is. I mean, those are the facts. He's helped this team continue to win 4-1 in the playoffs. He's been outstanding, and guys were dropping balls in that first half. It had some ugly moments. There were some floaters. There's no doubt about it. But when push came to shove in the fourth quarter, boom, he hits Kittle. Boom, he hits Debo. Like, you got to give the man his props. If you're going to rip, you got to praise when someone does something well. On McVay and Pete Carroll, it's interesting because it starts with a basic of, I would call, respect, right? If you didn't respect them, you couldn't sports hate them. Like, that's where it comes from. You don't hate the scrub. You don't hate the, like, for example, Jim Tom Sula. If you're a Seahawk fan, you couldn't even build up hate for Jim Tom Sula. You almost feel bad for them, right? Like, you almost do. You almost feel like they're a charity case. You hate people you respect in a sports sense, right? Emmitt Smith, for example. This guy ripped my heart out. Michael Irvin ripped my heart out. Jimmy Johnson ripped my heart out. I couldn't stand him. And I actually see a lot of parallels between Jimmy Johnson and Sean McVay. The hair, the swashbuckler, the smiling in your face, the boisterous fist pump like he's Tiger Woods sinking a putt on 18 at Augusta. Like, there's just something about this guy that I cannot stand. I absolutely can't stand. And I gotta say, man, I don't think I'm alone. Let's go out to Gordon in Pleasanton. Gordon, what is your question for me on Sean McVay?
Hey, guys. So I was a big Richard Sherman hater when he was with the Seahawks. And then he became a Niner, embraced the red and gold, and I loved the dude and everything he put into the 49ers while he was here. So should it be by happenstance that McVay became a 49er coach down the road? Would we feel the same way, or would we embrace him?
That's a great question. And the reality is, you know how it is, we root for laundry. When Deion Sanders was an Atlanta Falcon, I hated his guts. Came to the Niners, I loved him. Then he went to the Dallas Cowboys, and I hated him again. That's how it works in sports. If McVay was our guy, of course I'd be riding with McVay, but he's not. We got Shanahan. And I bet you there are a ton of people who think that Kyle Shanahan rubs them wrong the same way Sean McVay rubs me wrong. I bet there's a ton of people out there. I mean, Lankford, you're not a 49er fan. I'm sure Kyle Shanahan rubs you wrong at times. So, look, there's more of this. We got to get in there. And people are hitting us up on the text line, going from Arizona to the game. And it sounds here like Birch Circle Movers in San Rafael wants to help get us into the NFC Championship game. Text us your contact information on the Comcast Business text line, 888-957-9570. Let's do this. I see you're coming in here. Let's do this. What's coming up on the game is brought to you by Whole Foods. Did you guys know that they're going to announce the Hall of Fame class? And we're going to get into it. And Zaza Pachulia is going to join us at 7:30. We're going to talk Warriors, Warrior fans. Big game tonight against the Dallas Mavericks. It's all coming up on 95.7 The Game.
Nothing easy.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's what y'all been waiting for, ain't it?
Now, back to the Morning Roast, presented by Timeless Coffee with Bonte and Shasky.
Ah, yes. It's the Morning Roast. Joe Shasky, Bonte, Getting in here in a second. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ in HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Station, brought to you by DuckDuckGo. Man, I know we've been talking a lot of Niners, and we're going to bookmark it for right now. I got Zaza Pachulia joining me in less than 30 minutes. So, Warrior fans, I have some very specific questions for Zaza. Are the Warriors just bored right now? I'm going to ask a former player, a guy who's been tied to this team for a long time, in 30 minutes. But real quick, as we put the 49er conversation on pause, later today, they're going to announce the Hall of Fame, this year's class, who gets in, who doesn't get in. Now, if you've been sleeping under a rock for the last year, or maybe the last 10 years, maybe you don't know, but there's a guy by the name of Barry Bonds, a local icon, who is in his final year of being inducted into the Hall of Fame. And, you know, I think today is the last stand of the curmudgeon. And just bear with me here. And I want to know where Giants fans are at and just Bay Area sports fans are at in general. Again, you can text us on the Comcast business text line, 888-957-9570. And where I'm going at with this is, you know, print media has been dying a slow death for quite some time. It's not the same. I mean, I only know a couple of people in my life who physically have the newspaper delivered to their home. That doesn't mean that people aren't subscribing online. You know, the New York Times just acquired The Athletic. People are still reading. People are still consuming media. But never has print media been less relevant. And that's the reality. And yet I look around at all these ballots that are coming out. Because the baseball writers of America, they're the ones that determine who goes into the Hall of Fame. Because for a long time, games weren't televised. We didn't watch our local team but a handful of times throughout the year. I remember growing up, and KTVU Channel 2 only broadcasted maybe 60 road games a year. That's what you got to watch, 60 road games. I'm almost 40. That wasn't even that long ago. I remember when Sports Channel was created, and oh my God, I get every single game, every 162 game. So now the fans get to watch every at-bat of every player's career. I watched every single at-bat of Buster Posey's career. You couldn't say that in a yesteryear, in the 60s, in the 70s. So it made sense to have the baseball writers, the beat writers, the people that were traveling and watching these games, seeing them. They were the eyes and the ears for the game forever. It made sense to have the baseball writers determine who goes into the Hall of Fame. Because average Joe fan like me, I didn't get a chance to watch every single Willie Mays game or every single Juan Marichal game or Willie McCovey. But I'll tell you this, I watched every single Barry Bonds at-bat in a Giants uniform, and I know for damn sure Bob Ryan of the Boston Globe did not, a man who covered basketball until 1987 when he became a columnist and basically was representing his region. And I looked at someone like him, and I call, you know, Bob, a luminary when it comes to sports media. He is someone I look up to on television from around the horn and somebody that I've read in the Boston Globe. He didn't vote for Barry Bonds, but he did vote for David Ortiz. Now, think about that for a second. He voted for David Ortiz, who tested positive and was on the Mitchell Report, who had no career in Minnesota until he met up with Manny Ramirez. He voted for him, but he didn't vote for Barry Bonds. And he didn't vote for Roger Clemens. Why? Why did he do that? Well, clearly everyone likes David Ortiz. That's one element. And you're going to hear that a lot today. We vote for people we like. We like David Ortiz. We don't like Barry Bonds. He was mean to the media. But there's more to this. The curmudgeon beat writer, the curmudgeon columnist, is the dodo bird. People want to be happy. I watch sports because I love it. Because it makes me happy. Saturday night was epic. Snow falling down at Lambeau Field as the 49ers are in a NFC divisional round game against Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. How could you be mad? Yeah, if your team loses, you'd be devastated, but that's fun. And too many times, the curmudgeon beat writer doesn't want to be happy. And this is their last stand. The Baseball Hall of Fame voting is their last opportunity to make you miserable again. And this is where it really ticks me off. Bob Ryan felt an obligation, and I'm using him as an example, not because I don't respect him, because I do, and that's why I find this so interesting. I do respect him, but he represented Boston, and he felt an obligation to represent Boston in that area and the Red Sox by voting for David Ortiz. Where is our local media standing up for Barry Bonds? Am I the only one? Am I the only guy who could stand up for the greatest baseball player I've ever seen? We know the numbers. I could read them to you. You guys know that he had 232 walks in a season. 232 walks in a season. The same year he had 46 home runs and batted 346. After steroids were being tested for. Okay? He has 762 home runs. He's the greatest hitter any of us has ever seen. And I'm not going to waste your time reading all the stats. You know them. You've seen them. But what drives me completely insane is when a specific set of people who cover the game don't want to acknowledge or represent this region. I used the San Francisco Chronicle as an example, and we talked a couple of weeks ago about Ann Killian. She didn't even cast a vote. She claims that she didn't see the email in her inbox. Now, Ann has done a fantastic job as a journalist. I'm not a journalist. I'm just a sports fan. I'm a diehard. I'm a part of the media, but I'm a diehard sports fan. And she's a journalist, and she's done a great job throughout her career. But on this one topic, I'm furious because she has an obligation to this region, to Giants fans, to represent us and vote for our guy and vote for the guy that kept baseball in this town, because there is no baseball in San Francisco, at least what you see now, without Barry Bonds. How are you not going to include him? It's history. It's the museum. That's what Baseball Hall of Fame is. It's documenting the greats, whether you liked them or you didn't. We just spent an entire year eulogizing Big Ben Roethlisberger. Big Ben Roethlisberger committed more crimes to communities and society than Barry Bonds ever did, with some cream and some clear. And yet, it's as if it never happened. Do you think anybody's going to hold that against Big Ben Roethlisberger when it comes time for him to get into the Hall of Fame? No. No, 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 they are absolutely not. Do you think anybody's going to hold the positive steroid test of David Ortiz against him? Hell no. He's going to get in. You know what's going to happen. I'm not even outraged anymore. I'm not. Because I know what's going to happen. The last stand of the curmudgeon beat writer and the curmudgeon columnist from a bygone era, they are going to punish Barry Bonds again and Roger Clemens for the 10th straight year, and he's not going to get in. And you know what? I'm so over it. Like, you, I know you want me to come in and scream and yell, and you're expecting me to. I'm fatigued by the whole thing. And so here's my pivot. And again, Zaza Pachulia is going to join us in about 15 minutes. So go nowhere, because I really can't wait to get into the Warriors. There's a lot going on. This is what I'm asking. And I want the fans to help put pressure on the team. I don't need the Hall of Fame. I don't. I know this. San Francisco Giants fans flock to AT&T Park. They don't flock to Cooperstown. They don't even care about Cooperstown. We want to see our guys get represented. That's what we want. So I'm telling Larry Bear right now, Larry, if you're listening, if you're driving around the Richmond right now, anybody who's a part of the organization, I don't care about the Hall of Fame anymore. But do our guy right. Put a shrine for Barry Bonds and a statue at AT&T Park. Put it on right now. What are we waiting for? Don't wait for the Hall of Fame to screw over our guy. He represents our community. He's born and raised here. He went to Sarah High School. Do something for 25. Be proactive. Build the damn statue. It drives me completely insane that Barry Bonds is not documented more at AT&T Park. We need to shower this man with the flowers that he deserves. No, he's not a perfect human being, but who is? I mean, for crying out loud, if you're religious, Jesus sinned. All right? We've all made mistakes. It's not the end of the world. He's been punished long enough by baseball. And baseball itself has said, you know what? We care so much about PEDs, we're going to hire the guy who served the longest suspension in baseball history, Alex Rodriguez, to be the face of multiple television shows representing baseball. I mean, think about that hypocrisy. The selective jurisprudence by baseball writers is just awful. We all agree. So stop crying about it, Giants fans, and let's put pressure on Larry Bear and the San Francisco Giants to build the damn statue at 3rd and King. It's been long enough. I want our fans to be able to flock to that statue. And more importantly, I want that statue to be front and center when the old curmudgeon beat writer goes to their one game a year, or that columnist goes to their one game a year, and they have to see that statue as they're walking in to the house that Bonds built. That's what I want. I'm so over the Hall of Fame. I'm so over the Hall of Fame writers. It's a joke. The guy served his penance, all right? You kept him out for 9.5 years. You're probably going to keep him out for longer. What a complete joke. You guys know it. I know it. He's the greatest we've ever seen. Yeah, he was a jerk to you guys. You know what he was to me as a 12-year-old from St. Mary's Park? He was the dude that came when there was a bunch of inner-city kids and played catch with us. I didn't care if he talked to the beat writers after a game or if he was in a sofa and he was kind of a jerk to some of his teammates. Come on, man. He is baseball in San Francisco. There is no San Francisco Giants that you currently see with the money that they have and the success that they have and that beautiful stadium without Barry Bonds signing with the Giants in 1993. He saved baseball here. And I'm so disappointed that the Chronicle of all places that printed more money off the back of Barry Bonds and had more articles about Barry Bonds throughout that entire run, how many people made money and profited off Bonds, won't back him and won't represent our community and vote for our guy. How dare you? Like, for real. How dare you? It's a damn shame. Build the damn statue, Larry Bear. I don't care about the Hall of Fame anymore. I want our guy to be in our city and have his stadium 10 feet high in the air so when I go into AT&T Park with my kids, I can say, that's the greatest hitter I ever seen. I don't care about Cooperstown anymore. Jeez Louise. My God. Who's with me? 888-957-9570. And Zaza's going to join us in about 10 minutes. Steven, you want to get in here. Tell me what you... I'm sorry. It's just... I've been holding that in for like 15 years.
It's an embarrassment for the league, though, if they don't vote him in. Baseball's already embarrassing themselves with the lockout this year and not being able to come to an agreement with
that's player, a whole nother thing.
With who players who want to get paid. Yeah. Like, pretty simply, want to get paid.
Deebo Samuel's going to get an extension after 3 years.
Exactly.
3 years of NFL service. Rightfully so.
Yeah.
It would take Chris Bryant till he's 31 years old to hit free agency.
Right, right. Isn't there, but with Barry Bonds, though, isn't there something to him being the one guy that they'll pinpoint as to why the Hall of Fame's a joke? Like, after this, if they don't vote him in, how can anyone take it seriously?
How can you take it seriously when the guy who presided over the game, the guy who was the commissioner of the league during the biggest black eye in the league's history, the race barrier notwithstanding, okay?
Right.
In the modern era, Bud Selig gets in. Bud Selig has a plaque. The man who saw the whole thing, put his hands in his pockets, and said not a darn thing about anything, who allowed Mark McGwire to be hired by multiple teams and stay in the game, who allowed Alex Rodriguez to be hired by Fox, ESPN, etc., and be the face of their television broadcast, the man who allowed Barry Bonds to get a hitting job with the Florida Marlins, that guy's in. But none of these other guys are allowed in. I mean, come on.
And guys who didn't start putting up numbers till they were 28 or 29 years old. I wonder what helped them. I don't think it was a well-balanced breakfast single morning that put up the stats there. But Barry Bonds have been doing it even before all the steroid allegations.
Look, let me just say, look at this. We all know he did something, all right? We all know he did something. But it happened. And it happened in real time. You can't omit certain parts of history. Hey, you know what? We're not going to talk about Hitler. You know, we're not going to talk about World War I. Let's just move past that. No. If you're going to talk about history and you're going to have things that document, and when you go to a museum, you want everything to be documented. Now, history is usually written by the victors, right? So that's usually how it works. Well, the baseball writers think they've won. They've won, and this is their last stand. The last stand of the curmudgeon. And I'm just so sick of it. I'm so over it. I'm sick of these people representing the game of baseball poorly, the baseball writers. And they always want to point the finger, oh, the moral clause, baseball hasn't told us what to do. No, they've told you exactly what to do. They allowed Bonds to get a job in the big leagues. They allowed Mark McGwire to get a job in the big leagues. They allowed Alex Rodriguez to be the face of the game. Are you kidding me? But you're saying on this particular thing, they haven't given me any guidance, so my cop-out is to not vote for him. Oh, my goodness. But you know David Ortiz is getting in. I mean, come on, guys. I saw this coming 4 years ago. When David Ortiz retired, it was like, okay, his first year will be Bonds' and Clemens' last year. And you know what's going to happen. We like David. He goes in. We don't like Barry. We don't like Roger. They don't go in. Let's go to Dominic in Pinole. Dominic, where are you at on this Hall of Fame thing, man?
Hey, Shafty, let me tell you this, man. I got on you yesterday about Garoppolo, but today, man, you got me want to go learn how to play baseball, man. I appreciate your passion. I think Barry Bonds do deserve to get in. I was at the stadium when he got the record. I was there when the lights were flashing. I was there when the guy jumped off the wall to get that ball, and he didn't get it. The guy in the bowl got the ball, man. keep up the passion. If he don't get in, man, I'm not ever watching baseball again. Thank you, Shasky. I love your passion.
I'm with you, Dominic. And look, man, this is the thing. He's one of us. I'm born and raised here. I'm looking at Bonte. He just walked in the studio. He's born and raised here. Barry Bonds is one of us. They drafted him out of high school. He went to Arizona State, and then he went to the Pittsburgh Pirates, and then he came back around as a free agent. I remember when the San Francisco Giants had one foot in St. Petersburg. They were building a stadium and moving to Florida. And then they signed Barry Bonds as a free agent. Obviously, Peter McGowan and Larry Bear and that ownership group. That I cannot overlook what they did. Coming here, bringing the money, the know-how. Like, that's part of it. But so is the Bonds part. The Bonds part signing here created the buzz and got people excited. It's a travesty. I know I sound like a total broken record, but can we? And we're going to get back to football. We're going to get back into it. But tonight they're announcing this Baseball Hall of Fame thing, and I'm just so fatigued by it. And I want to see the Giants get proactive. He's not going to get in. Build the damn statue.
Yeah, statues are cool. Statues are cool, and statues will come one day for Barry Bonds. When will it come? I don't know. I think it's a matter of time. It's a matter of time. We got to be patient on that. But he'll get his statue. As far as the Hall of Fame vote itself. You know, I heard you talking about the local beat writers here as I was driving in. And look, local beat writers have an obligation to their companies. I'll say that. Should they vote Barry Bonds in the Hall of Fame? Absolutely. He's a Hall of Fame player. There's no doubt about it. But beat writers don't have an obligation to the Giants. No matter if you're writing for the local paper, you don't have to do everything because that would make you a homer and that would make you lose credibility. Now, you should be objective. You should be honest with yourself, and you should take your vote seriously. I think the Ann Killian situation here where the email gets lost in the shuffle and you don't make a vote. I mean, why are you voting? You should step down from voting. You should not have a Hall of Fame vote because that should be a privilege to have a Hall of Fame vote in any sport. It's a privilege to have that vote. And the fact that you're like, you know, I'm shrugging my shoulders and I'm not going to vote because, you know, it's just not that important to me. Then it's time to give up your vote. Whether or not you're voting for Bonds is another thing, but just the fact that you're like, yeah, this vote's whatever. Like, I can't believe that they allow so many writers to leave empty ballots. Well, if they're leaving empty ballots, to move on to somebody else and have them fill out a ballot. Baseball's the only Hall of Fame I know that went through a season where they inducted nobody. And was proud about it. And that's criminal.
Well, here's the other part of this, B. St. Louis... Those writers in that region, they feel an obligation to support their guys. Atlanta, they feel an obligation to boost up Chipper Jones and guys like that. Do you even think New York felt an obligation to get Mariano Rivera at 100%?
They did, but beat writers, though, they stay fair. They stay objective. That's more from the team stuff. Like, asking a beat writer every single day, hey, man, you have an obligation to vote for Barry Bonds.
No.
I don't think it's an obligation.
To do it right.
It's an obligation to just vote. Just vote.
Well, I'm with you there.
Just vote. You know, don't leave it empty ballot. But also, when I look at the Ann Killian situation, and she's done a lot of fantastic things in her career. She's a great writer. She's been here in this market for a long, long time. It doesn't sit well with me when somebody says, yeah, I lost it in the shuffle. I shoulder shrugged. I'm not going to vote. Like, we had the guy from St. Louis last year, and he decided to leave his ballot blank for what? It's your first year voting for the Hall of Fame. You didn't see any of Barry Bonds' games. You didn't see any of Jeff Kidd's games. See, I'm more outraged at Jeff Kidd not getting a lot of love than Barry Bonds. I know Barry Bonds is a Hall of Famer. I know why they're hating on Barry Bonds. Because he wasn't nice to people. Which is why Randy Moss ended up getting first ballot Hall of Fame in the NFL because he went on television, he put a smile on his face, and everybody forgets what he did off the football field. Where T.O., look, legal trouble? All right, he's got to pay some child support. Stuff happens. But on the football field, he was a first ballot Hall of Famer. But since he ticked a lot of people off, you know what?
We got to make an example out of him.
So, you know what? The whole thing gets toxic. It gets nauseating. And at this point, whether or not Barry Bonds gets into Hall of Fame, I don't even think Barry Bonds cares anymore. He's going to live his life, whether he's in or out.
But don't you think Giants fans want to see their guy represented?
Of course. I want to see Jeff Kent represented. I want to see Barry Bonds represented.
Right?
I'm sure Fred McGriff is not in the Baseball Hall of Fame. So I got bigger issues with the Fred McGriff, Gary Sheffield. It's not in the Hall of Fame.
Both should be in.
David Ortiz is going to walk in there.
Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire saved the game. Now, they weren't great players. They weren't on the level of even Gary Sheffield, I would say. But, like, you got to document what happened. Yep. You have to represent these people. Bonte, the thing that drives me even more insane when you see what happened with the Astros scandal, Bonds has served a longer punishment than anyone from the Astros scandal. Let's go back to Mike in Pittsburgh. Mike, what do you got on Barry Bonds in the Hall of Fame?
Hey guys, thanks so much for having me on. Listen to you every morning. I graduated from Sarah High School in 2000, so there was a bunch of days when I would go out and eat lunch, and we would see the Giants come for batting practice. And I just want to say that Bonds 1,000,000% belongs in the Hall of Fame. Even when the Giants won the World Series in 2010, 12, and 14, I was never as glued to the TV as I was back in 2007 when he was breaking the home run record. Every time he was up, no matter where I was, I had to try and find my way to a TV. So I've never been as glued to baseball or a situation as I was that scenario back in summer 2007 when he was about to break the all-time record. So he 100% belongs in the Hall of Fame. It's really a travesty. And I agree with you on the statue, and I hope they one day come to their senses on this. So thanks, you guys.
Yeah, I'm glad you called in. And again, he's ours. The guy grew up here and went to Sarah High School, WCAL. I mean, he still lives here, Bonte. He's royalty. He's Bay Area royalty. And I get it. Like, I'm not here to say that he didn't do stuff. We know that everything was sketch at best. At best, it's sketch. At worst, you know, he took a bunch of steroids, and it inflated all of his numbers. But it happened. And you can't go back in history and selectively choose who we want to punish and who we didn't. Ivan Rodriguez clearly did steroids. Clearly. David Ortiz was on the Mitchell Report and tested positive. We know this. It came out. And now we're backtracking because we like the guy. And we've selectively decided who we want to punish and who we don't.
What happened? He's on TV.
Exactly.
A-Rod, he's on TV. A-Rod is likable now.
He was at the Packer game.
He's doing Fox Sports college football pregame. He's likable. If you're not going to put Bonds in, then you can't put any of the quote-unquote steroid offenders in. And that's not happening. All right? The whole thing about, you know, you bring up Mariano Rivera and how he got 100% basically of the vote. Like, how does this whole percentage where you got to get it 75% of the vote to know if you're a Hall of Famer, you're either a Hall of Famer or you're not. You shouldn't have to say, he gets 80% of the vote, or he gets 90%. Like, how is Mariano Rivera the only unanimous Hall of Famer in the Baseball Hall of Fame? He's not the greatest player to ever play baseball.
No.
Not even close.
No.
He's a reliever, one of the greatest relievers ever.
He is probably the greatest reliever.
Vital players? Like, you're going to give Mariano Rivera 99% of the vote, and Griffey's not.
And Willie
Bonds
Mays
is not.
Yeah.
Jeter's not. Willie Mays is
Dave
not.
Ruth wasn't.
Pedro's not. You know, Nolan Ryan's not.
I know.
It's just, baseball just has it. That's why I'm telling you.
You're over
they
it,
go
huh?
on strike. Oh, I don't even care about baseball. We got NFC Championship game on Sunday. I got Warriors playing the Mavericks. Barry Bonds is going to get hosed again, and I could care less. I could care less about what baseball does. Baseball shoots itself in the foot over and over and over and over again. And I'm too old to be getting all irate over sports anymore. I'm not getting irate over baseball. I'm done. Yeah. That's over. Yeah. Barry Bonds, you know it when you said it. You know it when you saw him play. He was box office. You did not go to the restroom where Barry Bonds is at bat. Think about that. You did not go get a beer. You had to wait on hold and say, you know what? Barry's batting. And the cameras are flashing and everything. You talk about the gold gloves.
Yes.
You talk about the numbers. You talk about the stolen bases. You talk about everything. The only thing he doesn't have is a World Series ring. So,
Bonte, I'm going to say a name to you. You're a diehard sports fan. Gil Hodges is getting in, okay? Gil Hodges is getting in. Does that name have any... Come on.
No.
Exactly. You say Barry Bonds to somebody. I mean, Kanye West did a dang song about the guy.
Right.
People know who Barry Bonds is. It's absolutely criminal. Zaza going to join us in a couple of minutes. Hang tight. We got Drew in Oakland. Drew, get in here on the Baseball Hall of Fame. Barry Bonds. What are your thoughts?
Hey, good morning, fellas. Hey, I just want to say a couple of things about the Hall of Fame. That whole thing's a joke, man. You know, you in all of them, like I've already mentioned, the T.O. thing, you know, it's not the Hall of Fame of your life. It's not the Hall of Fame of what he did when he left you know, the stadium. It's a Hall of Fame of what you did when right. you were in those stadiums, when you were rock, bringing the house down and hitting home runs and throwing touchdown passes, like you were saying earlier about Ben. It's, we don't care about what people do when they're at home, you know? And these old sports writers, like you were saying, Joe, it's ridiculous. I guarantee if, like, every year they said, okay, this is your five guys going into whatever Hall of Fame it is, you know, football, baseball, basketball, and you let the fans vote like we do for the All-Star game, I guarantee you Barry would have been in his first year. No one cares about that. And like you said, this is the problem with baseball. They're too stuck in their old ways. You know, and with the newer crowd, and they're going to go on strike soon, I mean, no one cares about
yeah.
baseball keeps killing themselves. And
they
this
are.
Is why the kids today don't want to see it. It, the travesty is, if he doesn't ever get in, you know, 30, 40 years from now, our grandkids are going to be like, who was Barry Bonds? Because he's not there. He needs to get in. I'm even saying, you know,
well,
all these guys need to get in. Who cares that T.O. didn't get along?
You know what, though?
His ass should have been in the Hall of Fame the first year.
I'm with
year.
You, Drew.
Hey, and the last thing, Joe, every time I see that coach, McVay, I just want to punch him in the face.
Drew, real
good
quick.
Good call, Drew.
You know, good call. And I hear a lot of people want to punch McVay in the face. That's all good. Pete Rose is not in the Baseball Hall of Fame. Would you say it matters at this point?
Well, here's what I don't like: when someone has to pass away for us to allow them to get the appreciation.
Right.
I want to see them get the, like, the Kenny the Snake Stabler, right?
Right.
Obviously passes away before he's allowed to be inducted. Can we celebrate people while they're alive?
Cliff Branch, same thing's going to happen to Cliff Branch.
It's disgusting.
Pete Rose, he's not in the Baseball Hall of Fame.
He served his penance long enough.
But you know what, though? We still know he's the greatest. He's the all-time hits leader.
4,500 hits.
We already know he's the all-time hits leader. We already know he has rings. We already know he played multiple positions in the infield. We already know about Pete Rose. So does a Hall of Fame, like, because this is what, if Barry Bonds doesn't get voted in, 20 years from now we're going to be looking at Barry like Pete Rose. I think people will know Barry Bonds.
No, they
people
will.
People will know Barry Bonds. Now, baseball may try to eradicate his highlights. They may try to scrub his name off a lot of record books or whatnot. But they're going to know who Barry Bonds is. And I think that's what Barry Bonds is like. You know what? They know who I am.
No,
they know what I'm about. The peers know that I'm the greatest hitter of all time. So, you know what? Like, I don't think Barry Bonds cares. And if Barry Bonds doesn't care, then I don't care.
Well but yeah, here's where I would differ with you. Now, Barry might have all the money in the world, so who knows? But I'm sure he wants his family to have that day to celebrate him, right? On some level. I met Bob St. Clair.
Barry's different.
I know he is. I know
man.
He is. And they made a different amount of money than who I'm going to reference here. But I met Bob St. Clair many years ago, and he was a Clover Milk rep. And he pulled out his Hall of Fame card because I knew who he was, and I shook his hand. And you should have seen him light up. Like, yeah, I'm a Hall of Famer. And he would wear his Hall of Fame coat everywhere he went. There was a sense of pride for him and his family. So I don't know, man. I see
his
what
family,
you're saying. I see what you're saying.
His family probably wants it a lot more than him. Barry's chilling.
Yeah.
He's cycling. He's chilling in his palace. He's all good. He's all good here. So we'll table Hall of Fame talk a little bit later. Hall of Fame vote coming out. What time does it come out? 1 o'clock?
Yeah, at some point this afternoon.
1 o'clock this afternoon.
And
all
everyone
right.
will be outraged. And I know it's coming. And that's what I'm going to say to the Giants. Just forget them and build the statue.
Right.
Build the coolest statue ever.
Well, they've got his number up. They retired his number,
which
is great, which is step one. The statue will be there at some point. They're going to get a Barry Buster Posey statue as well. So, Barry, you know, we'll see. We'll see how the vote shakes out here as we get Zaza Pachulia out here for the executive show. The executive show brought to you by Free Spirits. Non-alcoholic spirits for amazing cocktails that keep you in the game. Available at drinkfreespirits.com.
Welcome to the Executive Show.
Nothing easy!
An inside look at the Warriors front office.
Can somebody give Bob some credit?
With NBA champion and Warriors front office member Zaza Pachulia on 95.7 The Game. Brought to you by Free Spirits. Non-alcoholic spirits for amazing cocktails that keep you in the game. Available at drinkfreespirits.com.
Nothing easy. Zaza Pachulia on the Morning Roast here at 95.7 The Game. And don't forget, starting February 1st, at Chase Center. All fans 16 and over must be boosted. So that starts on February 1st to make Chase the safest venue in the NBA. Zaza, good morning. Warriors win two in a row. They come down to the last possession there. And they always say, I always hear, Zaza, that these are the dog days in the NBA. The dog days in the NBA. What does that mean? Does that mean players get bored? Do players start looking ahead to the playoffs, especially when they get off to a good start? What does the dog days in January really mean in the NBA, Zaza?
Good morning. Good morning, guys. That's why, actually, playing 16 years in this league, gosh, you've seen so many of those, and literally you see it every year. Sometimes you have it in the beginning, and our team's having a rough start, especially, you know, if teams had a, like, surprise breakout year, and then summer, here comes summer, everybody goes home vacationing, and they cannot, you know, pick out where they left, right? So, you know, some teams having a rough start. There are a lot of teams actually having tough times right in the middle, right before the All-Star break. Because, first of all, I'll tell you what, like, winning is hard. It takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of work. Winning is hard. And when you are winning, when you have a good start and you're winning the games, you're having an amazing year, you come in the middle of the season, right, right before the All-Star break, that's where you get the challenging. Because, you know, your mind is, you know, okay, I'm a little fatigued, right, I'm a little banged up, I can't wait to get to the February and go to the break. You know, that's a mental thing. So I think that's what we're dealing with. That's normal. Every single team, if you look at it even this year, right, every single team is dealing with it at some point, right? So it's not about panicking. It's just very normal because the bottom line is it's human beings as well. And when you play 100 games per year, right, I mean, you're going to have some, you know, ups and downs, right? So mm-hmm. I'd rather have this slump during this time and, feeling good about my season and rest of the season, second half after the break, and playing the best basketball towards the end of the regular season. That way, I'm feeling great about my team and myself for the playoffs.
Yeah, totally. And you're hoping, you know, that you can have a very clearly defined role. And it takes, sometimes you never get there with certain teams. Sometimes you define them very early. Sometimes they change throughout the year. And I'm looking at someone like Jordan Poole, and his role has kind of changed a lot this year. How difficult is it for a player to adjust to a different role in the middle of the season when you're as young as Jordan Poole is right now?
Yeah, that's a great question, Joe, because you know, experience is so meaningful. And I think whatever Jordan is going through right now, it's just making him a better person and better player and more experienced guy in the NBA. Because, you know, I played with one of the best six men, Jamal Crawford, for a couple of years. And the mentality thing, you know, it's so crucial, right? So what kind of mentality you have as a starter, what kind of mentality you have as a player that comes off the bench, right? The mindset and even preparation. One of the things when I was young, that like when I was observing my veterans, how they would prepare for the game when they were starting and how they would prepare for the game when they were coming off the bench, you know? So those kind of things are the key details, in my opinion. So I think Jordan is going through that situation. And you know, very soon we're going to see even better Jordan Poole, in my opinion. Because this kid is capable of doing anything because he's so gifted, he's so talented. And, you know, we're just glad to have him in our team.
Yeah, in his last four starts, he's dropped at least 20 points in those games, including a team high 20 on Sunday. Zaza Pachulia here on the Morning Roast on 95.7 The Game. Zaza, what about Looney and his ascension? Kevon Looney, your former teammate, has come out of nowhere here. He's underappreciated. He's grabbing rebounds. I think last game he had 6, which broke a streak of 5 straight games with at least 10 rebounds. How about Kevon Looney's ascension here in 2021-22?
Do you guys know the player in the Warriors that played every single game so far this year?
Kevon Looney.
Kevon Looney and my European brother. Those two guys. I mean, if somebody told me, like, these two guys are going to play every single game, for at least first half of the season, I would have laughed. But you know, I'm a fan of his game, to be honest. And if somebody would appreciate his game, I would, because, you know, understanding what it means to do all these, you know, little things, right? And, you know, he's such a great defender, smart player, you know, has been rebounding the ball. It's a great, great level. He brings so much for this team, all these little things. You know, I really appreciate that. So I love it. I love watching Loon. He's been a key factor for our team and for our success. And he's been playing really well. I'm pretty sure he must be feeling great, you know, physically, because that's something that always bothered him. Well, I don't want to say always, but most of the time. But he must be feeling great. So I'm so happy for Loon, and, you know, he's been playing great.
You know, I'm sure it's different for every player, Zaza. And there's a lot of people that are speculating, you know, maybe Steph Curry is on the decline. I'm not saying that we're there yet. No one is saying that. I'm not hitting the panic button. But just from a player standpoint, how did you know that you were starting to, you know, come down off of your athletic apex? Was there an indicator? Was there a moment? Was it gradual? How does a player know that, hey, man, maybe I'm not as spry as I used to be?
I'm not even thinking about that, guys, to be honest. Like, I don't think it's a right time, and not even close to thinking about that Steph Curry, you know, athletic ability is declining, or he should even, you know, think about, let's say, what's wrong with me? Like, there's nothing wrong with Steph Curry, right? I mean, he's a human being. And one thing I always thought, actually, during my career, there are some games that you just don't have it. Like, you know, and it comes to the best from the best player to the worst player, right? I mean, there are nights that there are like stretches that you just don't have it. But I was taught that there's ways to impact and help the team. You know, if you can't make the shots, can you defend? Can you make the plays for your teammates? Because this is a team sports, right? So if you look at it, you know, his assists. I mean, last couple of games, he has 34 assists and only 6 turnovers. Last 4 games. Oh, this is amazing. Yeah. This is pretty cool. Like, that tells me who Steph Curry is. So, yes, we know him as the greatest shooter. And even though, like, some of the games, his shots didn't fall, you know, his ability of make the plays. And I dare you leave, even though, like, if Steph Curry is, you know, 1-for-20 from 3-point, I'm just saying, right?
Right.
I dare you leave him by himself. You know, he's such a threat. It doesn't matter what field goal percentage he's shooting with. He's always the threat, you know, on the court. And I don't care where he is. You know, he might be on the half court. The guy's been guarding him. So,
right.
And then I think he's doing a really good job of, you know, when shots not falling, he keeps shooting. He keeps looking for those shots. But at the same time, finding a way to have an impact and help the team with his defense, with his playmaking, not to turning the ball over, right, or steals. Just to be a Steph Curry. So, we're so grateful to have this guy on the court and seeing him every single night.
You know, Zaza, we're talking about the dog days of January in the NBA, and the Warriors right now 7-6 in the month of January. But the bottom line is they're 34-13. But how hard is it for this roster right now that not have their vocal leader out there? And that's Draymond Green. We know what Draymond Green does offensively. We know what he does defensively. How hard must it be right now for this team as they're going through these dog days, these rigors in January without their vocal leader?
You know, it's one of the keys, I think, that affects this slump, in my opinion, not having Draymond. Because, you know, you can you know, handle a game or two, but, you know, when you're such a, you know, couple games in a row, it really affects you because Draymond Green does so much for this team. And the more you watch, the more you realize, guys, like, you know, even the small things doesn't show in the stats. Like, even the pace. Let's talk about the pace a little bit. Because, you know, this team is known with, you know, playing with a high pace and moving the ball, moving the bodies. And Draymond Green is a key for the component, right? Obviously, we all know how great defender he is. But, you know, to put in the guys in the right position, right? And, you know, how many times have we seen Draymond with the ball on top of the key, you know, directing the guys, like even just the small pin down, like, you know, guard to guard pin down. Again, doesn't show up in the stats, but those type of movements and the, you know, directing the players, getting out to the wide open shot. And probably that's what Steph Curry misses the most right now. That's what our team misses the most right now. So, injuries are part of the game. What we're going to do, the good thing is it's not something serious. So it's going really well. And there's a progress every single day. So can't wait to have him back on the court.
Goga Bitadze, we'll get to him a little bit later, Zaza, when you have him back on. But you got to talk to Goga about jumping with Gary Payton in a second. I know that's your mentee from the Republic of Georgia, but Goga, he got to learn to jump, man. He got ejected out of that game, in the Indiana game, of course. So you got to talk to your boy, Zaza, as we let you go here.
somebody was texting me during the game, actually, that, you know, the game was in TNT. And they've been talking about, you know, what kind of mentorship I provided. And, I've been knowing Goga for years now. I met him when he was, 11, 12 years old. He was one of my camps. And, he was a tall kid, happy kid. You could tell he was enjoying playing basketball, loving his game. And, whatever happened to me, there was transformation that happened to him, went to Serbia and played the same team as Jokic was playing. And actually, Dan, one of our assistant coach, he coached him in Europe, Dan Milojevic. So Dan did a great job with Goga, great job. And he was a first-round pick.
Yep.
And, we had so much conversation before the draft and during the draft and after the draft and kind of help him a little bit mentally, like what to expect and et cetera. So, a lot of compliments during the first half because he was really having a great, great game. But everything went down after seeing the second half after he headbutted my guy, GP.
Yeah,
That's what I taught him too. I definitely didn't teach him that. But same time, I appreciate for the players that they show the grit and, the personality a little bit. That he cares. To me, that was the message, that he cares. And probably that wording of, Europeans are soft. He showed that he's not soft and, he's a tough guy, but, hopefully he's not going to keep doing it often. But, once in a while is okay, especially coming from the big man.
Goga Bitadze on Gary Payton's latest poster. Gary Payton II, of course. Zaza Pachulia, always fun with you. We'll talk to you in 2 weeks. Warriors.
Thanks, Zaza.
Mavericks tonight should be a fun one at Chase Center.
That's going to be a fun game. See you guys at Chase.
See you at Chase, Zaza. Don't forget, February 1st, you need to be boosted to go inside the Chase Center to make it the safest venue in the NBA. That's Zaza Pachulia, the executive show brought to you by Free Spirits. Try to cut back on alcohol, but still love a great cocktail? Well, Free Spirits makes non-alcoholic spirits so you can have the same delicious cocktails you love just without the alcohol. Available at drinkfreespirits.com. 888-957-9570. Is Sean McVay the most hated Ram? Sounds like Sean McVay may be the most hated Ram by 49er fans. Let's get to that. Is Sean McVay the most hated Ram right now for 49er fans? We'll do that on the other side here on The Roast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.